Hey, I'm Mike Myers, and this is the Songwriting for Guitar podcast, which is geared to support songwriters and producers to gain confidence and turn pro. I bring on industry experts to help you improve and monetize your skills, engage better in the writing process, and build healthy habits to create a sustainable career that you love. Caffeinated, inspirational, conversational. Hey friends, Mike Myers here with the Songwriting for Guitar podcast, episode 106, part 2 of Putting in the Work. So here's the thing, if you missed part 1, this is where I would hit pause and just go back an episode, listen to that first part, and then listen to this one. But if you've already listened, guess what? Here we go. We're jumping into it. Because let me ask you this, what will you miss out on if you put in the work? Just think about that for a second. What could you possibly miss out on if you put in the work? Absolutely nothing. Seriously, zero. There is no downside. One choice, honestly, can change everything. The decision comes down to willingness. The willingness to put in the work is honestly the beginning and the end of the songwriting woes. All that lamenting comes to a halt once you make the decision to jump in and start participating, to start developing your craft and putting in the work. And for part 2, I got Josh Doyle again. We are diving into it. Josh is, of course, a good friend of mine, mentor, and a coach here at Songwriting for Guitar. So here we go, episode 106, part 2 of Putting in the Work. I have now what you told me when you were saying write a lot of great songs and like just focus on the analyzing, the dissecting, and then doing even more of a deep dive. Because you said if you get something placed or you have someone interested in, that's great. They're then going to be like, what else do you have? You don't want to have one or two like possibly great songs and then a load of shit or a load of just like mediocre things. And as you said, in an industry where you're up against people that have been doing lots of great things, you want to have equally, if not a little bit better than those things. Yeah. Because that's also your portfolio and almost like your calling card. And you don't want your calling card to be like, oh, yeah, their stuff is kind of good, but then there's a lot of ones that miss.
Right. You don't want that reputation.
You want it to be like, oh, you know what? They really do put in thought of like the sounds and man, that is a great, like this one was really catchy, but I listened to this one and I was like, wow, that quality is essentially one main characteristic. And if you're trying to get around that, it will never happen. And you'll always wonder why, but you know, that's the thing too. Part of you knows the answer is just like,
I know.
And that's the thing. It's not like a crazy, you know, we're saying like you need to do X, Y, Z. It's like, no, you actually just need to carve out the time. And that time might be a year. That might be 2 years of just really writing and developing, writing with people that, you know, you do some co-writes that don't end up well. And then you do some co-writes that start to do, and then you start to form some people, you start to connect with others, and you start to stay consistent with it. And you're developing and finding out you have to build that. And if you're trying to get around that with other things, I've never seen it work.
Yeah, man, you touched on something that I kind of forgot about. That was like a big lesson for me, is that little voice mm-hmm. in your gut or in the back of your head that when you know something isn't right and it still needs more work, man, there were so many times where I just kind of like, I think it's good enough. Nobody's going to notice that flat note that I go that goes into the chorus or whatever. I think, yeah, that's what is it? It's got vibe, you know, like I can make it, I can call it something else. It's a stylistic choice, yeah. But really, man, every time that I pitched that song, that was what really got me, is that you can't just be done with it, put it on a shelf and never have to listen to it again. It's like one of those songs that's like, oh, if I'm going to pitch this, I got to listen to it again. Oh, I regret mm-hmm. that choice, you know, and that just gets me every time. So I try to, yeah, to take, you know, put in the work, do the hard thing, rewrite that pre-chorus if it needs to be done, even though the production's almost done. Like those are tough lessons. Yeah.
Those are incredibly tough lessons. What I think is also a great characteristic of putting in the work, one thing you'll gain is when you hear something that isn't right, what you're describing, and like it's something that you know needs addressing, like it's not something that it's like you're going to be like, oh, the way that you deal with it is so different, because those that hear that for the first time go through the spiral of like, this is, you know, it's just like kind of like it's the doomsday scenario, where I feel the person that's growing goes like, okay, so next time I have to remember, check, or, oh, you know what? I didn't throw a compressor on that acoustic. And so no wonder I'm getting all these creaking sounds. I need to remember next time when I track, just throw it on, listen. Is there any kind of weird background noise? If it is, everything set up, I can retrack it again really quickly. It's going to be so much easier. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, exactly those types of things. I've got a co-writer, session guy that I work with, and I love him, great instrumentalist, love recording with him, but man, he taps his foot every single time that we go to track anything. And so I went and got like this really thick rug that I can kind of put under his feet because of
the
those
thickness. If people are listening, you went with just like this giant, I'm just imagining this. Oh shit. But yeah, it's those are the things that you're going to miss out in putting in the work, because you can view it two ways. Either it is the worst thing ever, or you've now gained new insight in things that are going to save you time, and you're starting to develop your ease, I guess, quote unquote ease, of writing, because had you not done this, you wouldn't have known. If you wouldn't have known, you would have continued to make the same mistake.
Man, that I love that you just said that, like discovering your ease, like the reason that it now looks easy, or that we can do it quickly, is because of all of that, all those mistakes, like all the work that we put in and having to redo it, and, you know, paying attention to our intuition. I love the finding the ease.
Yeah.
The
image I get, I don't know. For some reason, I just like Gordon Ramsay. Like that, I love Kitchen Nightmares. I really do. It's just like, and it's just because he has such standards for what needs to be well run, and he can tell you why and walk you through all the things that need to happen. But I love this video. It's like, it's an early footage of him being an apprentice to it, like literally just doing, quote unquote, if you will, all the bitch work for this chef. Yeah. Like going and doing and cutting and listening and being like, oh yes, chef, yes. So all the things that he's expecting of the ones that are coming to him, whether it's like Hell's Kitchen or something, it's because he's been at that level, and his developing and his ease and his standards. It's like you see, oh, you put in that work. That was you doing all that. It's a crazy, it's crazy footage where he doesn't say a word. All he says is, yes, chef, right away, chef. Yes, chef. Mm. And it's him just like babyface Gordon, just looking like, you know, all like, you know, young. But it's like, oh, that was you learning about how to properly run a restaurant and a kitchen and understand what it takes. So now when you see him demand, it's like, oh, I get where you get your authority, and just like, you're not, because like I can go back to this video. You didn't put up like a hissy fit. Like where you see some people who go like, I don't want to put up with this. You can't tell me. Nope. He was just quiet. And it was just, yes, yes, chef. And I'm like, wow. I was like, that's him putting in the work and his apprenticeships and all those things that you don't see. Right now, it's just, oh, he's just a loud mouth guy on TV. And it's like, no, he actually put in the work and then developed a multi-million dollar industry because of all the things that he had to do, which is crazy.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get to see that very often. You only usually see like the experts at the, you know, toward the end, and now they're their authority, and you're like, how did they ever get there? That's cool that there's footage of him.
It's so cool to see, because he's just so quiet, and I'm like, I think that's what we need to do. We have to treat like, especially songwriting, as like your apprenticeship. You know, you have to be in there. You have to be not only doing the work, but getting the feedback for the work. And you have to be getting feedback from people that are doing the thing that you want to do and are at the level you want to do. And I think when you told me to write more songs and write, you know, full songs, that carried more weight, because I could look at what you were doing, and you were already, You already had three theory music. You already were getting things placed. This was already a thing that you were doing. You were just wanting to do it at a higher level, where I just wanted to do it at an entry level. I was trying to do it at any level. And so it carried more weight than necessarily somebody that was like in my local scene who was not doing the thing that I wanted. I was like, we're part of the local scene. Like, it's just like, it's a, you were just giving your opinion, where yours was much more of a critique based off of what you've done and your experience and the amount of work that you put in, because you could point me into very specific things and not just this vague, like, oh, I don't mind it, but I think that could change. Like, so many things could change. You were able to give me a very specific framework that I needed to focus on. And I think that's the big difference for people putting in the work. You have to be getting that consistently. And there's no level where it stops. That's the thing too. There's no level where it stops. I have to be honest. There's one thing that is always frustrating. It's when I see songwriters taking songs that still need to be developed, that need adjustments, and they try to produce them out, or they pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to have someone produce it out, only to get a product back that they're not satisfied with, that they're not happy with, that they actually feel demoralized about the whole process, and then question, should I be doing songwriting in the first place? Is there even a space for my songs? Regardless if you're trying to aim for publishing, trying to get a sync deal, or you just want to connect with an artist, here's the thing that needs to happen. You need feedback. You need feedback from someone you can look at and go, if future me looks like that, I am absolutely okay. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm so glad Josh is doing Song Critiques. He has mentored me for years and got me to the caliber where I can get things placed consistently, and more importantly, I can create a stable living from this. Did you know that just one of Josh's songs has made him almost 200K in placements? 200K, think about that. Do you think you could learn from someone like that? So here's what you need to do. Go to songwritingforguitar.com, and in the right-hand corner, click Book a Critique, and then book your session with Josh. Believe me, it is well worth it to save yourself hours of frustration and potentially thousands and thousands of dollars that you'll lose because the song is not ready, but instead getting the advice from Josh so you know what the next steps need to be. So songwritingforguitar.com, right-hand corner, click that red button that says Book Your Critique. Okay, let's head back into the episode.
You know, you had a career as a musician before we met. You know, we both did. And I think it's interesting that the more specialized you want to get, the better you want to get, the more focused you are, the more careful you have to be about the feedback that you're getting and who you're getting it from. Because at the very beginning, if you're just like, I want to learn how to play guitar, maybe one day play at my local, you know, bar, my whatever, the local festival here in town, you could get feedback from pretty much anybody. You could get, you know, feedback from your grandma who plays piano, even though you're wanting to play guitar, and she might give you feedback that's like, your timing's a little bit off, and you know that your chord sounds a little bit buzzy, and that might totally be spot on and exactly the feedback of the thing that you need to work on. But once you start like getting to that next level, maybe you've played your first show and you're like, I want to get more shows. You can't go to grandma anymore and ask for how do you increase your bookings? You know, what set order should I do so people can keep dancing? And
yeah,
you know, like at that point now you need to go to somebody else who's actually done what you're doing and where you want to be. And you know, when you get into sync, you can't, I mean, even us, we have to be careful about, you know, if there's songwriters who are trying to write for artists and aren't interested in sync, those are two different paths, and you got to kind of, it's different styles of writing.
It is, because it is a very, it's a specialized form of critique. And you're right. Grandma's great for those first, you know, that starting. But if you're like, I want to ask about like, how do I leverage out of state booking and how do I negotiate my fee and what, you know, that's now at a different pay grade. And it's just like, and then you've got to go to someone that's doing that. And you need to connect with them. You need to probably pay them too, to be like, hey, you know, as a coaching fee, as a critique fee. And what I love about what we're doing with Song Critiques is just the fact that somebody can book it, they can bring a song and can get a specialized feedback on the next steps, like what needs to happen. And more importantly, if you're buying like a package where you're bringing multiple songs, a person can also start to see your patterns. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing. One song critique is great, but hearing multiple songs, you're able to see patterns, especially if someone's been doing this for a while and has had experience, because we have patterns. We recognize when it's like, you know what? I do this a lot. There's a point where I need to freshen the toolbox because this is becoming my go-to. And now this is like, it's almost like, you know, the kids are like,
it's a crutch
again for dinner. Like this again is like, shut up kids. This is what we got. I realize I have to do that. Cause if not, I am going to fall back onto some reliables that are no longer going to be unique or like cool or exciting, but like, all of your past four songs have done that. You probably should do something different now.
Yeah. Yeah. For so many reasons, like keeping, like if you are working with a sync agent or a music supervisor or even a co-writer, they're going to start to get bored. Like if you keep bringing the same ideas, you know, your co-writer is going to be like, oh, we already wrote like five of those songs. Can we do something? Can we do a different angle on this? Can we freshen this up? And same thing with music supervisors hearing the same songs from you all the time.
And again, some people may hear that and be like, what the answer is, you just need to get feedback and you need to find a new, you have to grow more. This is a period where you're going to have to put in that work to develop those other things that will look natural, that will look at ease. But if it wasn't for those group of songs that you really spent time just writing and just kind of working on that process, you wouldn't have gotten. The other way somebody could look at that is that they hear like, well, I'm not good anymore. It's like, it's not that you're not good anymore. It's that you thought that you were done with the messy middles, that they're done and they're over with, but they're not. You've just entered a new level of messy middle. You moved your standards up a peg, which was great. You got there with that ease, which was all the hard work that you put in there. And then you had that period of time where you got to enjoy being there. Like you're like, oh man, it's not saying don't enjoy and just jump into the work. Totally enjoy and feel great that you have done that, that you have put in the work so that you're at this new level. But with that new level comes new standards. New standards means new development. New development means welcome to the new messy middle. It's vaguely familiar, but it's welcome a thing back. That's going to happen. And you have to find your guide. You got to find that person that's going to help you. Like anyone that has coaching with me, I'm like, listen, I might not be your first coach and I'm definitely not going to be your last coach. If you're going to do this full time, like you're going to find someone different later on. Like I want you to.
Absolutely.
I want you to, because that means it's like the training wheels came off. You're there and you're at a new level. Awesome. Go do that thing. But it's just going to be at a different level. It's not going to stop. And so I think the hard work is, I heard this quote from Dr. And I think I said in the last podcast, maybe, but it's just hitting me still. The book that I read, 10X is easier than 2X. He said, uncertainty is the price of admission. And I think that's what is sometimes, the messy middle. I don't know if it's not going to work. It doesn't matter. It's just like you have to be all in with the messy middle. Otherwise, it's not going to develop or work. You have to be 100% committed to developing yourself and willing to be in those spots and get the feedback and apply the feedback and do it again and then do it again. And when you think it's ready and they go like, that's not bad, but you have to do that again. Oh, you have to be like, just like Gordon Ramsay and be like, yes, sir or ma'am. And then you go back into putting into that work. And I was like, anytime that, and I'd be interested, you know, your take on this, but I feel like anytime they made a big leap too, it is a big leap of uncertainty. But I realized it was just like, okay, if I don't do this, am I okay with it saying it's not a priority, or am I deeply disturbed by that? And does it not sit well with me? And most of the time it didn't sit well with me. So I'd be like, cool. The uncertainty is better to me than the just sitting on the sidelines, knowing I should be doing it, but not making it a vital priority.
I think another kind of factor in this is kind of knowing your own personality.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we've talked about a lot, but for me, I'm a little bit of like a contrarian. Like, I don't like being told what to do. I don't like just copying other people's work. I kind of want to do it my own way.
Yeah.
And I know that about myself. But I'm also, I love seeing what other people achieve. I love like when somebody gets a sound or writes something that makes, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Like, I want to be able to do that same thing, you know,
yeah.
But I want to be able to do it in my own way, find my own path. So there is that, for me, there's always that uncertainty of like, okay, I learn as much as I can about the way that they did it. And if I don't exactly find that path interesting, if I can't completely relate to it, then I need to find my own way to get there. And that's, for me, that's where that uncertainty is. But It's kind of a bit like gambling of like, okay, I know I've got this piece that I've really put the work in on. I know that I've got this. And I think if I put these two things together,
yeah,
then it will get me there. And that's, you know, it's this like uncertainty of like, I know that I've had success with these things. But I just find that really interesting. Like, I don't know, this might fail, but I'm going to try. I'm going to put in the work and see what happens here.
But what's interesting, you know, on the other end of that failure is a step closer to this is what's so crazy about it, because it's that you kind of want, even if there's no downside to the failure is actually going to be really good. And it's going to be like, we're talking with ecstatic joy of like failure and being like, it's quite wonderful, because then you're going to like actually be a couple of steps ahead, even if it doesn't get you the result that you wanted immediately. And you're like, damn it. Yeah. But now you're a little bit closer. And I bet if you do it again, it gets a little bit better, because you also look like, I'm looking at these two parts. They are developing and they are getting better. So if I do this again and apply what I learned from last time, and I don't do that, but instead I do that, yeah, I think that's going to work a lot better. And surprise, surprise, it fucking does. Like, it's just like, it happens. And then you feel that's that next level and you feel so good. And that's where you start to realize like, oh, this work isn't going against me, but it's actually helping me. Like, I thought it was something that was detrimental, that was just time consuming, that was a waste, and that it wasn't going to produce the result that I wanted. But it actually helped me get to a place where I have a little bit more ease with this skill. And it got me this result, which, if you're doing licensing, it's that first payout. And it doesn't have to be a lot. And mine didn't have to be a lot to just be like, it confirmed a suspicion I had, where it was like, okay, so it is. I feel like kind of like Lloyd, where it's just like, so you're telling me there is a chance.
It's just
like, cool. It was just enough to then help me get to the next, like that next bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like if people just stay and they get that feedback, which again, I love the fact that you're doing song critiques, because I'm like, this is a huge, 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 huge thing. If somebody has not done this, but wants to get better, this is the entryway to getting better. And, you know, we could sit here and we could go through your record of everything that you've done to justify, you know, and be like, this is the reason why Josh does it, because here's the level at which he's produced. I mean, one song I know, and I think this is right, one song that's gotten played several times has been well over 100K.
I was trying to do the math really quick. It's definitely over 100K. I was wondering if it was close to two now, but
which is crazy. Yeah. So it's just like, if your result has not been that, and that's a desired result, then yes, get a song critique seems like, cool, there might be some info that you could give me to help this process develop my ease, to develop my process, to develop my system, so I can take some knowledge and start applying it to future songs, instead of me looking at the same song over and over and over again, dissecting it many different ways, banging my head against the wall, trying to figure it out, where I don't have the steps to help me get there. But you actually can be like, okay, these are some things that I've noticed. And here's another thing, because now we've done two song reviews and I've noticed you tend to do this and this. If you want this result, you may have to avoid doing this bit right here.
Just in our last call when we were giving feedback, we were talking about something and I played one of the songs where I was like, I know that what you're, this path that you're going down right now is not going to end well because I've got this song. Listen to how good it sounds.
And it was so good. And everybody was like, it's great. And you're like, I've never been able to do anything with it.
Yep. I love it so much and I can't ever pitch it. So just, you know, I've made the mistake for you. Congratulations. I just saved you a bunch of time.
Exactly. Like, think of how, you know, not only just time, but sometimes money, things like that can save someone who's just starting out. It's huge. So if you're listening to my voice and you've enjoyed these two episodes where you've heard about like all our talks about avoiding the work, but actually choosing to instead, you know, you're like, okay, I need to put in the work. The next step obviously is a critique. And so that's where you need to go and listen to Josh. I can speak from experience how much it's helped me. Because probably with, you were the first person to give real advice that I was like, oh, you're doing the thing that I want to do. And a lot of people that have been telling me to do this, this, and this, I'm looking at what they're currently doing and I don't want to do that. Like, right. And they don't have, they're nice, but they're kind of like that, that's not the advice that I need right now. I need someone who is making an income from this. And I want to get better at the production, but I have to realize that the songwriting may need some work and I need to be okay with that. I need to be okay with taking some of those steps and not doing 25 different lush guitar parts with 45 amazingly stacked harmonies that are just doing an ah that I spent the entire morning doing instead of writing maybe two songs that could have instead moved me much further. So book a session with Josh. So I'm sure we're going to get into lots more, many things, but I think this was a good discussion to dive into not skipping the work.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good one.
And that does it for this week. This episode was edited and produced by Chris Fafalius. I'm Mike Myers. Thanks for listening.